The Baptist Bible Hour now comes to you under the direction of Elder Lasser Brightly, Jr.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace.
This is Lasser Brightly, Jr., inviting you to stay tuned for another message of God's sovereign grace.
Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? As the burdens press and the cares distress, and the way grows weary and long. Oh yes, He cares, I know. He cares, His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. He cares.
I want to thank each of you who have stood with us during these challenging summer months, praying for us and contributing to the support of the program. If you have not done so as yet and want the program to remain on your local station, we'd like to hear from you. The address is Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. Now we continue today with the message, I Must Tell Jesus.
And then they embarked upon their travels in the wilderness. How is this host of people going to be cared for? How are they going to be fed out in a wilderness place? God cared. He rained down manna from heaven. Even when they complained about the manna, He gave them quail also to eat. He cared for them. And then they were without water. And the people obviously could not survive without something to drink. And God brought water out of the rock. It came to Marah, to the bitter waters. And Moses cast a tree into the waters and they became sweet. God cared for His people. And then in the days of Elijah, the prophet prayed that there might not be rain for 3.5 years. As a result, there was a famine. But God cared for His prophet. God sent the ravens to feed him. They brought him both bread and meat. God cared for him. I believe God can supply the needs of His people, no matter how desperate their circumstances. He sent the ravens to feed Elijah. And then Elijah comes upon a woman, a widow, who has a son, and she's getting ready to make the last piece of bread that she could make out of what she had. And Elijah says, make one for me first. That seemed a little out of the ordinary, but this was a test of faith. And she made him the cake and then made it for her son and herself. And from that day forward, the barrel of meal did not exhaust itself, and the cruse of oil did not run dry. There was a sufficiency because He cares. He cares. And then we come to the New Testament, and we see Jesus went to the Pool of Siloam, blessed a man who had been waiting for 38 years with the idea that when the waters were troubled, if somebody would put him in, that he would be relieved of his difficulty. And Jesus cared for the man and healed him. The man got up and walked. Jesus cares. And then I want to take time to read this account in Mark chapter 4. The disciples were on the sea, and they asked Jesus, as the storm was raging, wind blowing fiercely, tossing the little ship about. Mark 4:38, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And that may be your question from time to time. When you're on the restless sea of life and you're being tossed about and the winds are blowing and the field, you're in a great storm and you ask, Lord, do you not care? Carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. My, what a miraculous experience. What it must have meant to those men to see the power of Jesus, that he could control the wind, he could cause the storm to cease instantly. There was a great calm. Jesus cares. And then in the book of Luke, chapter 18, I read beginning with the 35th verse. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. I love that expression. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. What a beautiful time. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. A glorious experience. This man couldn't be stopped. Some tried to hush him up. No. I must cry. I need help. He cast his burden on Jesus, and Jesus healed him. We think about the account in the Gospel of John chapter 4 when it said, I must needs go through Samaria. It was completely out of the ordinary for a Jew to go to Samaria and particularly to visit with a Samaritan. But this Samaritan woman comes and Jesus speaks to her and gives her water superior to that which was in Jacob's well. Oh, how he cared. Cared enough to go out of his way. Cared enough to break all the standards of the time, to have conversation with a woman and with a Samaritan at that, because he came to change her life. And then we think about the woman that came in off the street when Jesus was in the house of Simon the Pharisee. She fell down at his feet and began to weep. Simon sitting there observing it and thinking, if this man was who he claims to be, he would know this was a wicked woman and wouldn't allow it. But Jesus cared for this woman. She took the hair of her head and wiped the tears from his feet. And Jesus pardoned her and said, the one who is forgiven most loves most. Jesus cared for a fallen woman that the Pharisee would have thrown out of his house. Jesus cares. Jesus came to the grave where Lazarus had been laid. His family and friends were in deep grief, and Jesus wept. Jesus cared. He wept with them. But then he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus, who had been dead 4 days, got up and was alive. Someday he's coming back and he's going to speak with a mighty voice, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. They'll come out of the grave, their bodies glorified to be with him, live with him forever. Jesus was on the cross dying for sinners. The thief next to him says, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. A beautiful display of the grace of God. How could this man know that the one who next to him was also dying was indeed a king? that he had a kingdom, that he could help him. And he says, remember me. And Jesus said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Jesus cares. And then there was a man named Saul of Tarsus, a religious man, a self-righteous Pharisee, who was putting forth all of his effort to destroy the church, put Christians to death. But Jesus cared for him. And he cared enough to speak his voice loudly enough for Saul to hear it on the road to Damascus. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. And you know the story. Saul became Paul the Apostle. Said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He loved the message of grace. He preached the gospel. He preached Jesus Christ and him crucified. And then Peter, who under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit penned these words in our text, very well knew from experience that Jesus cares. Jesus had healed his mother-in-law when she was sick. When he met with Peter and he'd been fishing and caught nothing, Jesus said, launch out into the deep. He said, let down the net. And Peter was hesitant. He thought if there were any fish out there, he would have had them by this time. But he said, nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. And there were so many fish, it almost caused the boat to sink. Jesus cares. And Peter knew it because it was his experience. On another occasion, Peter needed money to pay the taxes. And Jesus says, go out fishing. And the first fish you catch, open up his mouth and there'll be money inside. And you use that to pay the taxes. Peter knew Jesus cares. Jesus blessed him to walk on the water. Now, he didn't walk long because he's got his eyes off Jesus and began to look at the water and started to sink. And he prayed a quick prayer, Lord, save me or I perish. Sometimes people like to make long introductions before they get to the point. Peter didn't have time for an introduction. Wait a little longer, he'd been under the water. Lord, save me or I perish. And the Lord rescued him. And then when Peter cut off the ear of the high priest's servant and could well have been killed by the mob because of his action, Jesus took care of that and put the ear back on and healed the man. Jesus cares. And then in Acts chapter 12, Peter was put into prison and the Lord sent an angel to deliver him. Peter then could indeed say to us, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Peter knew it very well. And the fact is, he does care even when our desires are not realized. See, a person may say, well, I'd like to believe that, but I've had too many times that I've prayed and I wanted to believe he cares, but things just didn't turn out like I wanted them to. But he continues to care, even when we don't understand the situation. Psalm 142, verse 1. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. You ever been there? It just felt like nobody understands. Nobody really cares. Just seems that those who are closest to us with the ties of nature at times are like they're at a distance. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. So the point is that when we cast our care upon him, it may be that our immediate circumstances do not change. But when we come to understand he is our refuge, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living, it gives us a whole different outlook. If I have Jesus, I have everything. If I have him who is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother, if I have no other friends, it'll be all right. If I have him, all is well. Sometimes the trial continues on and on. And we pray, just like Paul prayed, Lord, deliver me from the thorn in the flesh. To have a thorn in the flesh is painful. We don't know specifically what this was. But the apostle, who had a close walk with the Lord, prayed earnestly. And it's in order for us to pray. If we've got a painful situation, if it's bodily pain, if it's sickness, if it's affliction, if it's spiritual struggles, whatever they may be, there's nothing wrong with praying, Lord, remove the thorn. Lord, bring this situation to a conclusion. Help me to be delivered from this painful circumstance in which I'm currently struggling. But what was God's answer? I'm not going to remove the thorn, but I do care, because my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient. So even while it hurts, even while you're bearing the thorn, you're not alone. I'm giving you grace, sufficient grace. I care for you. There's grace when a loved one dies. We're assured that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That can be one of the most painful circumstances in life. When a husband or a wife or a child is suddenly taken away. 1 Thessalonians 4:18 says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. The Lord cares. So he's given us words to comfort us. What are those words? He says, the Lord's coming back, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we that remain shall be caught up together with them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What greater comfort could you have than that? He cares in that moment of deep sadness when a loved one is taken away. And he cares when the greatest trial comes our way, whatever it might be. You can't say, well, I know that there are a lot of promises in the Bible, but I don't know that there's one that specifically suits my case. But we read in Romans chapter 8 and see how broad the scope is of God's love and his faithful care for us. Verse 36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Doesn't that cover it all? Nothing else you can interject there and say, well, the writer overlooked this. Whether it's things present, whether it's things future, nothing on this earth, nothing in hell itself, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Understanding that, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And then, never a failure. God always cares. He's kept every promise. He supplies every need. Therefore, every care should be cast upon him. The cares of the day, the present cares, Even the past cares, things that come up and you look back at the past and you grieve over some circumstance that you cannot change, you cast that on him. And you have some apprehension about the future, cast that care upon him. Little cares. I counseled with a lady one time who was distressed about many things, and I talked to her about casting her care on the Lord. She said, "Oh, I wouldn't want to bother the Lord with this. It seems so insignificant, I wouldn't want to bother him." It's bothering you. If it's bothering you, he's interested because he loves you. He cares for you. You cast your little cares. You have enough little cares, and after a while, they become a big, big, big care. So you cast your little cares, and you cast your big cares upon him. Cares about a troubled marriage. Satan is attacking families today. And even among Christians, there's a lot of marital trouble. Cast your care upon him. Challenges with children. How sad when you see children that have been brought up in a Christian home and then in their teenage years become rebellious. The burden you have for children. Cast your care upon him. The concern you have in the workplace. The burden you have for those you're praying for. Sometimes when I'm trying to look at the list of names I have written down and then think of others that I need to pray for, the burden is overwhelming. And I have to say, "Lord, my arm is too short. I can't reach them. I can present the message. I can preach the gospel. I can give a loving admonition. But only you can put it in their heart. Only you can change them." I often just say, "Lord, this burden is too heavy." When I think about the details of so many people's lives that are stressed and distorted and troubled and people going down the wrong path, I pray, "Lord, help me to be diligent in trying to minister, but to know it takes the blessing of your Holy Spirit." I've told you before that I frequently pray, "Lord, give me opportunity to minister to somebody where I can help and save me from those I can't." And the more I pray that prayer, the more often I'm given opportunity to talk to people. I was stopped in a rest area the other day, and man, I didn't even see him following me. I got in the car and he knocked on the window. I opened the door and he said, I'm stranded. I need some money to buy gasoline." So I stepped out of the car. I said, "Well, do you have a job?" He said, "Yes," but then he gave me some set of circumstances that had caused him at this moment to be without money to buy gasoline to get where he needed to go. I said, "Well, I see you got a job and you got a cell phone, so you got some money somewhere." "Well, again, you know, there's an excuse." I said, "Well, let me ask you. I thought I might as well ask up front. Do you have a problem with drugs?" He said, "No, he didn't." Of course, I know that doesn't mean that was a truthful answer, but I was trying to get down to some basics to begin with. I said, "Well, do you know the Lord?" So I said, "I want to tell you about what the scriptures say concerning salvation." And he started telling me about some of this long, detailed stuff that the group teaches about what the sickle in the book of Revelation means and what that means to America. And I said, "Well, what's the bottom line of that? If what you're saying is true, what am I supposed to do? What are we supposed to do?" I said, you're caught up in all these details, and what I want to talk about is you. Where do you stand today?" "Well, I believe all this is important." "Well, let's say it is. There's nothing more important than knowing where you're going when you die. And the only way you can know that is acknowledging you're a sinner and that Jesus is the Savior and you're trusting him." So I gave him a little money. And sometimes I think people look at me and think I'm an ATM machine, because everywhere I go, people are asking me for money. I looked at my watch. I said, "All right, I got a little book here, gave him my book, Some Things You Need to Know About God. I said, you read that, and in 15 minutes, I'm coming on the radio. So you tune on at 1160 on the dial and listen to me preach. Now, whether he did, I don't know. But at least I had opportunity to speak to him. But I could go on to the whole list where God's given me opportunity to speak to somebody, a stranger that I didn't even know, and bless me to give a witness of the gospel. But I think about those that I do know, those that I know a lot about. And the burden is heavy, casting all your care upon Him. God provides just what is needed. He gives comfort that we might not despair. And isn't it good to know that He identifies Himself in Scripture as being the God of comfort? He gives you hope that you will not give up. And He identifies Himself in Scripture as being the God of hope. And He gives you grace to help so that you can do what needs to be done. And in the Scripture, He identifies Himself as being the God of all grace. Cast your care on Him, because He gives the comfort and the hope and the grace that we so desperately need. What a blessing to come to Jesus and cast your care on Him, no longer being gripped by worry and anxiety. But if you're one who's never believed on Jesus, you have no one to whom you can take your care and unburden yourself and believe that they can really help you. May you come to Him today by faith. Cast on Him the burden of sin. If you've been convicted of the fact that you're a sinner, the good news of the gospel is Jesus came to save sinners. Cast your burden of sin on Him, for there's hope in Jesus. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me, Jesus alone.
The truth expressed in this old hymn is something we should never forget. I must tell Jesus. In the midst of all the trials of life and the heavy burdens that we may carry, to know that we can come to Him and He has encouraged us to cast our care upon Him. If you would like to get this complete message on CD, request it when writing us this week. Till next week at the same time, may the Lord richly bless you all.
The Baptist Bible Hour has come to you under the direction of Elder Lasair Bradley, Jr. Address all mail to the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217. That's the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217.